So when we were singing earlier about God roaring, who actually does the roaring? The roaring is the church in action. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about this morning, about the church in action. So the title of the message this morning is called Thank God It's Monday. Thank God it's Monday. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll read from verse 10. By the way, the shirt, that's just called fashion. It's not Jack. Okay. And these glasses, they're my daughter's. All right, so Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And by the way, God will not permit tea or coffee in heaven. Just thought I need to put it out there because I've had some questions about that. God does not permit tea or coffee in heaven, by the way. Right, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship. We should know this one by heart by now. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. What those good works actually mean. We are created, we are his workmanship, created to meet the needs of people. That's what it means. We are his workmanship, molded. Some of us long people extrude. Molded, fashioned, designed by him to meet the needs of people, to do good works. You're not going to get to heaven by doing good works. You've got to receive Jesus into your heart. You've got to give your life to Christ. And when you do that, you'll be able to do good works. You'll be able to meet the needs of people. The book of Luke says, Jesus says, I'm going, do business until I return. It's a translation. It's American standard. It says, do business till I return. What business is that? Meeting the needs of people. Meeting the needs of people. Meeting the needs of people. For good works which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. There are good works that you and I have to be walking in. Everyone. If you thought you were tired, change your mindset. You can't be retired. You can't be retired. When you get to 65, you're going for 75, 85, 95 until you get to 120, because that's when you can switch the light off. Yeah, the Bible says that. Keep going. And it's amazing how many people get to that age of retirement and then the wheels fall off. You don't retire. You might change careers. You might get yourself involved in something where you're not earning an income, a non-profit thing, but you've got to be working. We have to be meeting the needs of people. Because we, his workmanship, designed, specifically designed to meet the needs of people. What if God cared more about Mondays than Sundays? What if God cared more about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday than Sundays? Maybe he does. But in our minds, we think this is the day of the Lord. This is the day we get refired. The Sunday is the day we get educated, we get motivated, we get boosted to meet the needs of people Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We put so much on our Sunday that we feel at times, if I get there on Sunday, I've done my duty. I've done what I need to do. It's got nothing to do with it. We get you on Sunday so we can get an injection, we can be encouraged, we can get motivated, we can rub shoulders with like-minded people who are also interested in meeting the needs of others. The state of the church on Mondays, the influence the church has on Mondays, the impact that the church has on Mondays is directly related to how real your Sunday was. The impact, the influence that you and I have on Mondays, on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, is directly related to how church was for us on that Sunday. How real was it for you on Sunday? So if we leave on Sunday and we enter Monday and nothing has changed, there has been no impact on me. I am not refined. I'm not ignited to meet the needs of people, to be His workmanship, created specifically to do good works. If I'm not there, then we got to look and say, well, Sunday, it didn't really work for me. I need another Sunday on Monday. That's maybe why we have life groups halfway down the week. I want to say to you that we are sitting with an incredible responsibility upon our shoulders. And so many of us don't even realize it. Our response to Mondays is a direct indication on how our praise went on Sunday, on how our worship went on Sunday, on how our giving went on Sunday, on how the communion table went on Sunday. How did that impact us? How did that influence us so that we left in order to say, thank God it's Monday. I am now loose. The demons of hell should be trembling on Mondays because the church gets freed into the world on Mondays. They haven't wanted us to know that for a while. Here's the thing. It's not just for some of us to know that. It's for all of us to know that. Every one of us. Your work is your worship. I'm going to show you that in the scripture now. Is it really possible to have a real experience on Sunday and not have any impact and any influence on Monday through to Saturday? Sundays is the equipping day, the day to be recharged, the day to be influenced to the extent that I can have influence and I can have impact on that Monday. Open your Bible with me, please, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. These glasses are pink, Terry. Yeah, they soften me a little bit. Because at times I'm told I'm a bit too hard. So I thought pink glasses soften this exterior. Okay. But he's still not allowed tea and coffee in heaven. I can assure you that. 1 John, the reason I say that is because I've never had tea or coffee in my life. And I believe I'm a child of God. And obviously one of those really close to his ear. And I've conducted myself in such a manner. 1 John chapter 3, and we'll start at verse 16, and it says this: by this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for brethren. That does not mean you must physically be killed. Because if we all had to do that, there would be no church left to impact the world. Okay? But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother or sister in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? It's not just material stuff, by the way. That's just so that we can catch in there. He's not talking about money and things. He's talking about what have you got to give. If you have peace, and you're sitting with that peace locked up on the inside of you, and you come across people that are troubled in fear, and you do nothing about it, that's what he's talking about. If you're sitting with joy locked up on the inside of you, and you meet those that are sad and burdened and having a tough time, and you do nothing with that joy on the inside of you, he's talking to you about that. Always read and just think it's money. No. Not about money. Money can change a situation for a moment, and then what? But joy and peace and love change you forever. Carry on there. My little children, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and in truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. Who carries that truth? We do. You are the truth. You carry the truth of Jesus in you. It is easy to say, pray, pray, bless you as you go. Paul speaks about that. How blessed can a person that comes for prayer unclothed and leaves unclothed? How blessed is that? We have an incredible responsibility on these shoulders of ours. Because we carry the truth on the inside of us. And God is wanting us to get involved in our workplaces and get that truth out. Two things people look for: truth and freedom. Truth and freedom. Here's the thing, they're both related. Because when you bring truth, you bring freedom. Truth and freedom are wrapped up in one word, J-E-S-U-S. And if I carry that J-E-S-U-S in me, I'm carrying truth, I'm carrying freedom. Don't turn there. But Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God says to Adam, go to that garden. Now, this was before Eve was even made. Okay? Before you get married, you must have a job. Before he gave Adam Eve, he gave Adam a job. I pity the young men that ever ask for my daughter's hands in marriage that are not sitting on senior boards as directors that can fund my wife and my dreams as well. God said to Adam, work in the garden. Go tend that garden. Go cultivate in that garden. Work. That word, work, in the Hebrew, is the same word, I'll spell it to you, it's called avodah. A-V-O-D-A-H. It's a Hebrew word that is used in that scripture. And that word avodah refers to worship. It's the same word used in Exodus when God calls Moses up to the mountain and says, come and avodah me. Come and worship me. When he sent Adam to the garden to work, he was saying, go and worship. Go and work. Go and worship. Work was not given to man as punishment for sin. Work was not given to us. We do not work, and it's tough out there. We do not work as punishment for sin. Sin hadn't even entered. Eve hadn't even been brought into the place yet. Not that Eve is sin, but Eve hadn't even arrived yet. And he had given, turning on watery ground here, right? And he had given him a job. He'd given him a job. So, therefore, work is not punishment. And if we look in our faces when we get up on a morning, on a Monday morning, and then you compare to that same look to the Friday afternoon, chalk and cheese. Monday, Friday. It's not punishment. If it feels like punishment, there's some adjusting that needs to take place within here. There needs to be a renewing of our minds and understanding. Because it's not punishment. It's a place and a time for you to worship. God designed work. Nobody else. God designed work. He designed it. You are blessed if you have a job. We're going to pray at the end for those that don't have jobs, because I want them to be blessed as well. And I'm sure everybody does. You are blessed if you have a job. Doesn't mean you are prosperous, but you are blessed to have a job. It's designed by God. And for those of us that do not have jobs, that's not God's plan. Unemployment is not God's plan or solution for anything. That's why there will never be politics in heaven. Because they don't get it right. And we're going to trust God. We're going to pray this morning so that our brothers and sisters that may not have jobs can get employed. Because it is a blessing of God to have a job. I've just read the word to you. What did Jesus do for the first 30 years of his ministry? We consider his ministry to be 3.5 years. For the first 30 years of his ministry, Jesus worked. He worked. The Bible says that Jesus grew in stature. The word stature means this: a degree of eminence, a rise in social standing, an advancement in the community. That's what stature means. Oxford. The Bible says Jesus grew in stature and wisdom as he obeyed and worshipped his Father. How do you grow in stature if you're useless at what you do? You don't. You become the laughing stock. You're a fool. You have to be good at what you do. And it's not about education, by the way. We'll get to that now. Oh, yeah. You have to be good at what you do. Don't deliver second-rate service, because that individual must be hit to the curb until they wake up. It is unacceptable for us to deliver second-rate service because we are no testimony to the Lion of Judah who roars on our behalf through us. Now you deliver rubbish service, how on earth can you roar in your company? No wonder we get mocked at times. Never employ a Christian. I've even said that. Truthfully, I've said that. All the Christians I employed and other than my wife were disasters. We so often want everything for nothing. It's not acceptable. Not if you serve the Lion who roars through you. Time's gone. Let me skip quickly. Jesus was as much in the will of his Father when he was sweeping out his workshop. He kept a clean workshop, by the way. I can prove that to you as well. When he was sawing, they didn't have band saws and electric saws those days. It was hand saws. And those teeth were probably not as sharp as the teeth on our saws that are today. So he had to cut for a while. He was as much in the will of his Father when he was cutting, when he was molding, when he was sawing, when he was sweeping, when he was greeting Mrs. Funnemerver at the door who was coming to buy two chairs. He was as much in the will of the Father as he was when he carried that cross to Calvary on his shoulders. And they popped that up and they hung him there. He was as much in the will of his Father then as he was when he was sweeping at his place of work. Why do you think Jesus drew a crowd? Why do you think people followed him? Because he had a reputation. He had a reputation. He was known as Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. Now, when you live in Nazareth, you're not called Jesus of Nazareth. It's when you are outside of Nazareth that you are called Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. So his reputation went way beyond Nazareth. And not because he was born of a virgin. It's because he was excellent. He was great at what he did. Jesus was great at work. His carpentry skills were known throughout the land. And people were following him, they're saying, so now why are we following this? I don't know, this is Jesus of Nazareth, the carpenter. Jesus, the carpenter. I think my aunt bought some furniture from his store. Greatness on the job, greatness in the workplace earns more than money and recognition. Greatness at your place of employment earns more than money and recognition. Catch these three things. Watch here. Greatness lands you respect. Greatness lands you respect. Respect delivers influence. You see where we're going with this. Respect delivers influence. And influence gives you the platform. Influence gives you the platform to share the truth, which will bring freedom. That's good, eh? That is good. Greatness. Be great at your job. If you had to resign and leave, they beg you to stay. There's a saying, it's hard to get good staff. I'm telling you, I'm an employer. It's hard to find good staff. There's so many people out there, but it's so hard. And everyone I've gone after has been a Christian. And 90-odd% have let me down. That has to change, church. Because we have a responsibility on these shoulders of ours. We have to be great at what we do. I said to you moments ago, it's not just about education. Attitude and a willingness to learn. If I could find a person that would learn and then would, you know, you don't get stupid people. God didn't make a single stupid human being. But you get people with such poor attitudes and such stubbornness and a refusal to learn. That, I think God must hate that like witchcraft. Because it's nothing like He is. In His image we were created. In His image we were made. And that image is not what we see out there at times. You and I are the expression of Jesus to the people we work with every single day. You and I. Those that don't go to church on a Sunday have an encounter Monday to Saturday or Monday to Friday with the church. Now, what is that encounter leaving them with? What impact are we leaving them with Monday to Friday? They don't have to go to church on Sunday because as long as you are there, Monday to Friday. Church on a Sunday is for us Christians to get an injection so that Monday to Friday we can impact those that we rub shoulders with every single day. Statistics say that in a work week, each individual has impacts or rubs shoulders with between 30 and 50 people. Just think about it yourself. See if that's accurate. That's the stats. If we had 200 people here today, if we had 350 today, that's 10,500 people every week we are rubbing shoulders with. That's just this church. We should have overtaken the world ages ago. Ages ago. Do the math. It's simple. Do the math. We should have conquered this earth. Jesus should have come back 100 years ago, I guess. But he's not here yet. He's not coming for a while. Until we realize that where we work is worship to the Father. He's put us there with her for a reason, with a plan and a purpose, because the truth of Jesus dwells within us. And the people out there need the truth. Why? Because they need freedom. And you get freedom when you encounter the Son of the Living God. That's when you get freedom. I'll wrap it up quickly. Turn three pages. Okay, I'm going to tell you this quickly. How do you become great in your workplace? That's critical. It's critical that you are great. You have to be great. You have to be good. Not second best, good. I've always told my kids, even in ballet, gold medals. We don't do silver in our house. Even in ballet. When I pick my girls up from ballet or from dance, I say, did you win? A fact. I will tell you. First time Hannah said, win what? I said, did you win? And what me? Did you win? your skill. Be excellent. This is how you have impact in the workplace. This is how you get your platform. Your skill. Be good, people. Nothing less. Be good. Be great at what you do. Number two, be faithful. Doesn't matter if he's a heathen or she's a heathen. Be faithful. Don't be found to be a gossiper. Don't be found to be a gossiper. Your boss doesn't pay your salary, by the way, to preach the gospel and heal the sick at work. But he pays your salary and you are the light of the world. And light attracts things to it. And be honest. Be skilled. Be good. Excellent at what you do. Number two, be faithful. And number three, be honest. What does that mean? It's not about stealing. You wouldn't do that. You're a Christian. Be honest that when you say, I will meet that deadline, they can go to sleep knowing that that deadline is met. If there's one person they can rely on, it's you. It's me. If there's one person they know they can rely on, it's you, it's me. Why? Because I'm called by the name of Jesus. I run, I rock with the rock of ages. I am called by the Ancient of Days. That's who I am. That's who you are. And if they can trust in Jesus, they can trust in you and me. Because we are different. We've encountered God. We've encountered the power of the Holy Ghost. Okay, I'm skipping a bunch of stuff. I'm turning, and I come up with this. Don't need to put it up. Daniel 11:32 says, those who know their God will do great exploits for him. If you know your God, you will do great exploits for him. And it's not always raising the dead. It's not always getting the sick healed. That is some of the stuff. But it's being faithful. Being on time, being honest, being reliable, knowing that you can be counted on. That's what it's about. Remember these three things. Be grounded to the truth of the gospel. Number two, be connected to the power of the Holy Spirit. And number three, be switched on in your heart and mind to the opportunities at the workplace. Those three things are going to get us to where we have to get this world. That responsibility is on our shoulders. Let's not worry about anybody else. Let us, this church here, say, we're going to take that responsibility for this community. We're taking that on our shoulders. We are going to make that difference. I want to pray now. If you don't have a job, if you're unemployed, come here. Let us pray for you quickly. If you need a job, come here. I want you to be blessed. I want you to enjoy the blessing of God. It is God's plan. It's his purpose. The devil has been holding you back because he wants you to be employed. He wants you to have a job. God is for us, people. He's not against us. Now, there's another group of people. Some of us might not like where we're working. Well, I want to put this to you. Do you think Adam wanted to be a gardener? God didn't even ask him. Adam, my son, my first son, what would you like to do? He didn't give him a choice. He didn't give him a choice. There's so many things he could have done. He could have become a hiker, a professional hiker. He could have been a runner. I mean the fun things. Huh? But the Lord said, you're going to work in my garden. Now it was easy before sin came along. Obviously Eve and then sin. No. It was easy. Because the ground wasn't hard. It wasn't tough to work then. It is tough now. But what do we have that Adam didn't have? We have the power of the word. You speak into your ground. Speak into your work. Speak into your sales. And let's get it changed. Now, let's stand.